She is a returning champ covering all kinds of sports for the paper I grew up with, the New York Daily News. She hails from Queens, still repping the 718. On Twitter, use the handle at @Sarah_IsabelV. We welcome back Sarah Valenzuela. Sarah, how's life with you in the Big Apple?
Hey, thanks. It's going well. How are you?
I'm doing great. You're kind of my connection to the city, then it's less that I have to talk to my family, who can get a little annoying. But I'm swearing you to secrecy on that one. And anyway, Major League Baseball's lockout. So, Sarah, let's forget for a moment you're a Syracuse-educated journalist and that I've been doing this for 23 years. We're just fans talking about what's happening. I'm ticked. I don't trust the owners for one second. They stole our hot stove. So what's in your heart right now as you follow these negotiations?
As a purely a fan, it's a little absurd, just the notion of it's millionaires arguing with billionaires, so why would the average Joe even care? But at the end of the day, for anyone who knows the sort of work struggles that you've had with, say, like a higher entity in your workforce, I mean, just having these negotiations sort of go nowhere and seeing the players take away and take away from what they're asking for. Just, there's a lot that you want to look at and you want to scream at it.
And of course, you live and work in the city. You hear from fans, could be social media. I know ESPN Radio, WFAN, the readers of the news. Because I remember back in 1994, it was kind of close how fans felt about each side. How would you say right now the average fan in the street feels? Have they taken a side more with the players or the league and the 30 owners?
I think it's more siding with the players. And then the other average fan just doesn't really care how it settles, just that baseball comes back. At the end of the day, it's about putting a product on. And no matter which way it happens, I mean, fans just want to see baseball. They want to make sure there's a season that happens. So most people are siding with the players in their fight. Others just want it to end.
Yeah, I always say the owners could be selfish. The players could be selfish. Why can't the fans be selfish and only look at it from our angle? talking with Sarah Valenzuela, New York Daily News. I saw you retweeted and commented a story about Aaron Judge, who, tell you the truth, I didn't realize after this year he would be a free agent. Obviously, he's had injury issues, but when he's in there, he just produces. So what's the buzz as far as signing him long-term? Because as you said, he's a good guy and a leader. Is the right thing to do is make him a lifelong pinstriper.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it would be sort of in the Yankees' right moral mind to extend Aaron Judge. Just the type of person, the type of player that he is, especially since he is a homegrown talent. That being said, his market has been a little here and there, if that makes any sense.
Sure.
I mean, you figure he draws comparison, at least contract-wise, to the likes of say like Bryce Harper, but is Judge really going to garner a Bryce Harper like vast deal? And do the Yankees, are they really willing to put out that kind of those kinds of funds for him when they're trying to get under the luxury tax for so long? So it would be good of them to extend him, whether they'd be willing to spend on him to do so, and whether he wouldn't then just reject an extending offer to go for more money in the free agent market is all to be seen.
Yeah, and of course they have the Stanton and the Cole contract, which ain't pennies.
No.
I know we're bouncing all over the place, but I feel like there's so much I want to talk to you about. The U.S. Women's National Soccer Team, who blatantly been disrespected by U.S. soccer at just about every turn. They've had legal action pending. So today a financial settlement was reached, and you wrote about it in the news. So kind of for those just catching up, what are the details? Sarah, how big a deal is this, and what does it mean moving forward?
Right. So this has been, at least on the legal front, something that's been going on for the last 3 to 6 years, depending on how you want to view when the women launched their legal actions. So just from the basic standpoint of fighting for equal pay, trying to beat gender discrimination, this was a win, even if it wasn't in the sense that a judge ruled in favor of or against, say, like their claims. So just having them settle with U.S. Soccer just puts pen to paper, kind of closes this ongoing back and forth between whether or not the women's team should be paid equally to the men's teams, and whether or not that's true or not, and all the back and forth between stats that made no sense from one side. Anyways, the settlement was set out for, it's a total of $24 million being paid out to the women's national team, a lump sum of $22 million that the players listed in the lawsuit will determine how it gets distributed, and will be distributed to them, And then the remaining $2 million gets put into an account that would work towards the players' post-career endeavors and work towards bettering women's and girls' soccer.
Well, I spent 1999 on my Kelly O'Hara jersey, so I did my part. Talking many things with Sarah Valenzuela, the New York Daily News. So the WNBA regular season, I know it doesn't start until early May. The Liberty made the playoffs for the first time since 2017, but then they dismissed their head coach, Walt Hopkins, hired Sandy Brondello. I mean, you wrote about it at her introductory press conference last month. So what's the buzz about this coach who, you know, had a ton of success, including a title in Phoenix?
All right. So the expectation, whether it's outright said or not, is that Brondello brings the expertise that the Liberty need in a head coach. The Liberty last year, they made it to the playoffs, which was great, but they also did so with a losing record. In order to be successful in the league, in order to control your own future, if that makes any sense, you need to have better than a 12-20 record. And Brondello would be the one to help them sort of piece their pieces together and get them into a more comfortable rhythm, help them establish more chemistry between themselves, and, you know, help them at least get an average record or even a winning record when the end of the season comes. So yeah, no one's really expecting, like, championship right now, but you can figure that with Brondello's expertise, better is coming.
Yeah, like you wrote about, they got in the playoffs with the worst record in the history of the league. But obviously, Sarah, out here, our interest centers on Sabrina Ionescu, who's just revered. And, of course, after taking Sabs, they intended to rebuild around her. So what did Coach Brondello say about, you know, what kind of offense we might see with Sabrina and, of course, the two big guns, Natasha Howard and Benaja Laney?
Right. So, obviously, any kind of additions that happened in this offseason were all about trying to build around the pieces they already had in Sabrina and Natasha Howard and Benaja Laney, and just being able to get her in Sabrina into a more comfortable role last year as a point guard was leaps and bounds. I mean, trying to get her to be a player that she wasn't into a player that she is, playing a different kind of position for what was basically her first year in the league. So just trying to pick off that leadership going forward for the next season is really what Coach Brondello would be looking for with Sabrina and Natasha, and especially the addition of Stephanie Dolson in free agency really helps sort of move the players that are already there into more comfortable roles. So
talking with
interested to see how it goes.
Yeah, no, and again, like I said, kind of chomp at the bit, then you realize, oh, it's still gotta happen in May. Last thought for Sarah of the New York Daily News. Let's get to my agony, the Knicks. I've told you that I date my childhood back to their championship teams in 1970. Yeah, kind of dating myself. I was 9 and 12 when they last won it. I'm now 61 with two grandkids. So last year, of course, the Garden was rocking. Then this season, there was optimism. Sarah, they're the worst team in the NBA the past month. How would you describe the level of misery among Knicks fans who we had all this hope coming in?
I mean, I think one of our writers, Stefan Bondi, he wrote it best. They went from bing bong to ping pong, and it's just there's a train riding down south, and it's just not going really anywhere. It's not going anywhere fast. Whether you want to chalk it up to was last year a fluke, the players that were brought up, that were put together this year, was that bad? Is it bad coaching? I mean, it's a combination of lots of different things, but, I mean, fans everywhere, just, it's sad. But when they win, it's almost like those losses never happened, but they also haven't won in a while, so.
Well, we know 1973 and next season is 2023. It's going to be a half century of misery for Knicks fans. But either way, thank God there's plenty of wine out here. Folks, she is Sarah Valenzuela. She spends time with us occasionally and keeps us wired in Sabrina and the Liberty and all that's happening in Big Apple Sports. Check her out in the New York Daily News on Twitter. It's at @Sarah_IsabelV. Sarah, always a pleasure. Hope you are doing well. And obviously, I'll look forward to chatting with you not too long down the road.
Thanks so much. Catch you next time.
All right. Take it easy.